Well, it's that time again, I guess. Welcome, everyone, to Literal Literature. I mean, that's all I can muster right now, Howard. I'm very sorry. I can only apologize, Howard. I'm sorry.
Well, you didn't really have much guess up and go in that intro.
I just don't know, I'm quite tired. I don't know why. Where's the jazz and the pizzazz gone?
I don't know. Well, if you're asking me to provide 100% of the pizzazz and the jazz, then I'm afraid that you're barking up the wrong TREE, mate.
I would never do that. I would never ask that of you. That's too much jazz and pizzazz for one man to handle.
I've spoken before you've even introduced me to me, in fact. That's so odd. This is really weird. What's the matter with you?
Okay. Hang on. All right, okay. Let me just gather myself.
Gather it
Let me
up.
Just, okay, yeah. All right.
We'll call that a mark,
shake it off.
Mark one. Take
shaking
two, babe.
It off. Just for those of you who are listening, I'm just shaking off the day. Just.
If you're nervous, just imagine me naked.
That's it. Okay.
In fact.
Wow! Wobbity boop dap boobity bow! Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Too Much Jazz and Pizzazz, to this week's episode of Literal Literature. My name is Sam Sheldon, and I am joined, as always, by the wonderful, the beardy, the hairy Mr. What's your name, sir?
It's Howard Grato.
I think this take two's working a lot better. Don't you all agree?
Yeah. Everyone's going to be loving it. Yeah. Everyone's going to be screaming for us to go back to being sort of depressed, tired people.
It's. I mean, it's been a bit of a big week, though, hasn't it, Howard? I mean, that's why that beginning was a little bit muted. We've had a big old bloody weekend. We saw each other in person again.
We saw each other in person because we had, ladies and gentlemen, what I would describe as a pretty massive live gig, didn't we?
Look, I mean, I don't want to toot our collective trumpet, but yeah.
Yeah.
We rocked the countryside, let's put it that way. That country town did not see us coming, literally.
It was a private event that we were specifically called up for. We were called up to the weren't we, Sam?
Yes, we were.
And we then were we did a few silly little jokes at my mummy's birthday. 60 years old she is, the cretinous old buffoon. So we had we did some silly little sort of comparing for the night.
It's true. Yep.
I sang some songs with some old pals, and you came in, and we had a really quite brilliant shtick that you'd heard about the party, but I hadn't actually invited you, but you came anyway and just sort of messed up the whole thing.
And
good.
The people loved it! Oh!
Well, they were not. Went absolutely crazy, didn't they?
Absolutely loved it. You know what? I'm very jealous of your mum, though, because that was a bustling birthday party. Like, that was, what, at least 60 people?
Oh, yeah, it was a lot of people. Yeah.
I don't know that many people. I was walking around just going, how does anybody know this many people? I am so jealous.
It's village life, isn't it?
My 60th is going to be a shocker. It's going to be like you, Grace, and then maybe Harriet, if she can be bothered. That's pretty much going to be my 60th, probably.
It's cheating, though, isn't it? Because, you know, in a sleepy little village, basically, mum's got 60 friends, but I would say about 52 of them are all called Pat. Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of vibe.
It's I love that vibe. Though, because that's a real vibe. Like, the Pat vibe. That is
the Pat vibe,
a real vibe.
It was an absolute Patgasm, and we tried some jokes. Some of them worked, and some of them, you know, it was too risque, too hot to handle for the kind of.
It was live comedy, man. You can't control it. You don't know what's gonna happen.
Exactly. You can't shackle the cut and thrust of modern comedy. If we want to be out there, that's the contract that you sign if you come into a show hosted by me and you. You go, listen, leave your preconceptions at the door and just know that we're going to be talking about some pretty heavy topics.
Oh, yeah.
So we cover them all, didn't we?
Look, I mean, the very, what's the word? to be fair, I think most of them went down apart from the one that was sort of insinuating playing with yourself. And
Yeah. They didn't, for some reason, my mum's friends, who are all 50 plus, didn't quite like the idea of me hunched over, pleasuring myself to ecstasy.
While I'm hiding in the wall watching you do it. That was the conceit of the joke.
Yeah, that was
really odd. I also mentioned something about sniffing your toothbrush on the fly, because I thought, hey, let's just play around with this. It did.
I quite liked leaning into when it got awkward. I was quite enjoying it just being awkward. I made quite a lot of references to death on the night.
Oh, that was brilliant. Tell the people about that. That was great.
Well, so the big one was I used to do a little a cappella thing when I was very young, because I'm a wanker. And we were in a cappella group called Johnny Five. I couldn't get all of Johnny Five to turn up, but I did have three of us. So I said, I used to be in an a cappella group with four of the lads, but two of them sadly died. And there was a sort of reverent hush that went around the room.
There was a feeling. There was like an actual atmosphere of, oh my God, how tragic.
So then I had to say, no, they're not dead. They're just unavailable. They're dead to me. Yeah.
Oh, and that then was
your
good.
Your 18 minute bit on the Holocaust didn't go down well, did it, Sam?
He's kidding, ladies and gentlemen. He's kidding.
Welcome. So, hello, everybody. Anyway, yes, welcome to Literal Literature, where we take famous books from history, take their title, bastardize it up, and make a silly little play and do it together. This week, Sam, it's your turn. What have you got in store for us?
Oh, it's the Arthur Conan Doyle classic, A Study in Scarlet, Howard.
Ooh,
my gosh. Had a lot of fun with this one, I did. Had a lot of good fun times I had.
Yeah. I have another thing to say, if that's all right.
Go for it.
A Study in Scarlet isn't Arthur Conan Doyle's debut novel. This series we're doing debut novels as a running theme. This is not Arthur Conan Doyle's debut novel.
I was going to say, are we going to have to find that skeleton that we've been picking bones out of these past few weeks? Yeah. Where's he hiding? Is he in the corner of the room somewhere?
No, yeah, he's right next to me. I keep him in a little cupboard, but at the moment he's just three ribs and a skull because I've picked so many bones. But yeah, it is Sherlock Holmes's debut novel. It's the first time Sherlock Holmes, the character, appears in a novel.
I suppose we
can get away with it.
Yeah.
Also, I think Arthur Conan Doyle's first novel has never been published until quite recently. So I guess we could be forgiven for missing that. I don't have all the answers because I can't be bothered to Google.
No, it's fair enough. I mean that's the whole thing with the show, is that we don't know basically anything about any of the books that we touch.
Yeah,
it's just the way it goes, baby.
It's just the way it goes. So, are you looking forward to A Study in Scarlet? What's the vibe?
I'm very much looking forward to it. It's once again, it's a bit more, to be honest, I've kind of taken a little bit of a leaf out of your book from last week, where it's not really. That's me saying, like, that's going down the completely wrong direction. But it feels more like a play, this one. Like, you know, most of my other ones are very, just very odd, very strange. Whereas this one, it's still odd and strange and all that, but at least it has, you could imagine it on the stage. On the West End, you know, not necessarily a small theatre, probably like your middle-sized theatre. Maybe the National. The National might call up. They might say, Sam, the way you wrote those characters, wow, it really seems get into the heart of the human condition. Can we put it on at the National? I'd say, I don't know. Been chatting with, you know, the old Vic. check in the lyric, also want to have a look into it. Just that sort of vibe, you know? Nothing Lovely. Too big.
Yeah, yeah, good. Well, if Cameron McIntosh or Andrew Lloyd Webber are listening, please, for your consideration, think about Sam's new version of A Study in Scarlet as we get ready to perform it for the first time. I've not read it. I've not seen it. Sam's written it hastily as he burrows away in his new life in Brighton.
It's too true. It's too true. We are recording this the day before this goes out. Now, if you're listening to this, I do apologize. This will be coming out. It will be coming out on Wednesday. It'll be the afternoon, though. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, I'm not gonna be able to get this ready for the morning, Howard. I'm so sorry. But at least we're still sticking with the Wednesday. Still sticking with the Wednesday.
Yeah,
just the
yeah,
afternoon.
Yeah. Just some of us write our plays and get them done and edited, and then also sort of make a kind of quiz thing involving their desk. And
oh, there's definitely none of that. Definitely none of that.
Good.
You knew that.
Good.
You knew. Yeah, I felt really bad though. I did do a little bit of research to talk about at the end of it though. There's a thing.
Good.
It's not really a thing.
There's a thing! Oh, I'm exciting there's a thing.
Oh, there's not really a thing, though. I tried to do a thing. I'm giving the game away, but yeah. Anyway.
Oh, I won a pub quiz last week.
What, like a real one?
Yeah, a real one. Yeah, proper one.
What'd you get?
50 quid bar tab, mate.
Oh.
It was really good. But get this. Get this, Sam, right?
Yeah.
Won a bar tab on a Tuesday. And then it said, congratulations, here's your £50 bar tab to use at this pub. I won't name them, even though I should, because fuck this, right? Then, because then it said, it runs out in a week, right? So you have to use it within 1 week, and you couldn't use it on the day you were there or the next pub quiz.
Well,
So I had to go to this pub between Wednesday and Monday the following week. What they awarded me with was a problem. I mean,
why can't you use it the night you're there? It makes no difference.
So stupid. It's like, well, this isn't really a prize, is it? Because obviously I want to come to the next quiz, or I just don't want to pay for what I've drunk today. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm like, all jokes aside, and I'm not even trying to make any sort of gag goof thing going on here. I'm really genuinely trying to figure out the logic behind that.
Yeah, it's rubbish.
I'm actually annoyed for you.
And it's quite it's quite a nice pub, and the staff are really lovely, and you know, the service is always impeccable. But that is beyond the pale.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that it's the Star of the East in in West Ferry.
And if you want to sponsor us, guys, come along and we can...
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe just, yeah, sponsor us, but maybe sort of rethink your ideas about what a prize is.
They'll sponsor us the week after the series finishes.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Good. Good. Right, well, we've rambled on for about 15 minutes, Sam. What say we get on with this show?
All right, ladies and gentles. That didn't sound like genitals. Here is my version of A Study in Scarlet. I hope you all enjoy. And before you interrupt me, Howard Gray, I see you puckering your lips up going, who am I playing? Who am I going to play? It's going to be part of the intro. Okay, it's really not. I haven't planned anything, but I'm just going to keep on talking and make it seem like I have. So here it is, A Study in Scarlet. Okay, Howard. Now, you've got quite a few characters for this one.
Oh, God. Shall I write them down?
Yeah, go on.
Okay.
So, you are playing estate agent.
Estate agent. Oh, I love that.
Policeman.
Oh, give me all the big roles. Estate agent. Policeman.
Now, there is a policeman too, but yours is not policeman one, because I kept forgetting to write a one. So, just bear that in mind. Don't get confused.
What?
You're just policeman. So you're just policeman.
I'm policeman and you're policeman too.
Yeah.
Got
you're
it.
Also Sherlock.
Oh, lovely.
So there you go. Oh, now, how yes. is your Kevin MacLeod, the guy from Grand Designs.
Grand. Well, I don't know. Does he sound like this or something? Is he a bit like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
This is an absolutely lovely space. It's not great. I don't watch him that much, but I'll give it a go.
Kevin MacLeod. Hello. Welcome to his very special album.
Yeah. He's got a sort of long, sort of horsey face, hasn't
he? Yes, yeah. Great.
Yeah, I really love what you've done with the kitchen. Okay, fine.
Perfect. That's your characters.
Wicked, mate.
So, sorry, I may have piled on probably more characters than you need, but I just thought, why not? Let's give him some work.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's do it.
All right, here we go. And scene one. Here we go. Warm ourselves up. I'm just stretching.
Right, I'm going. I'm off.
Go.
And here we have the kitchen, which, as you can see, has been fully kitted out with the accessories and cookware you would need.
Mm, yeah, it looks great.
Now, if you follow me through to the living room, you'll see that I...
I have to say before we carry on that your accent is fantastic.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
No, really. It's like, I don't know, like a soothing river running through my ears.
Goodness!
Where's it from?
It's Australia.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks. Anywho... thanks. Anywho, as you can see, the living room has a very lovely, homely feel.
I hope this doesn't come across as too forward, but would you mind if I recorded your voice?
Why?
I'm sorry, it's that Australian accent. It's so soothing, so relaxing. I just thought maybe if you could record a few sentences for me, then I could, you know, listen to it before bed, you know, relax and wind down, that sort of thing.
No.
Why not?
Well, because I'm an estate agent, not a bloody voiceover artist. Also, it's just weird.
No, of course. Sorry, I wasn't thinking. That was very rude of me.
Why is your phone still out?
No reason.
You're recording me, aren't you?
No, absolutely not. In fact, I find it somewhat insulting that you think I would infringe on your personal boundaries like that.
Okay. Sorry.
But if I was recording... How would that make you feel? A few sentences should do it. Oh, sorry. But if I was recording you, how would that make you feel? A few sentences should do it.
That's it. If you try to record my voice one more time, this open home is over.
Sorry.
Now, if you follow me this way, we can see the study, which come with all the amenities needed for...
Sorry.
Let me just say now that Sam's done a stupid thing and he hasn't put the S on the cums. And then now he's trying to type it and it's...
Why is it always...
he keeps... Sorry, just for the listener, he's editing it real time and... He keeps doing a capital S. It's very silly.
Oh, no.
All right, I'll try it again. Now, if you follow me this way, we can see the study, which comes with all the amenities needed for the...
Oh, my God. The horror.
Lovely stuff. Scene two. Okay, so you open the door to the study and... Oh, that's the same. That's the same as the fucking... How do policemen sound?
Think of like a
hello,
Bobby.
Hello, hello.
Yeah.
Okay, so you open the door to the fuck me. <man. laughs> I don't know what was going on there. I just want to get a policeman. Okay, he's just gonna be like this. Okay, so you open a door to the study, and then what happened? Oh, it's me. Fuck me.
Sorry.
Okay, so you opened the door to the study, and then what happened? I saw it. Just there in front of me. It was horrifying.
It was quite a scene.
Yes, I see. And there was no scene of a break-in? That's your thick? You're a thick person? There was no scene of a break-in. This is going very well. yes, I see. And there was no sign of a break-in. No,
he's an Aussie policeman again, is he?
No, I'm doing... You're a fucking dick.
Fuck, now.
How dare you?
Sorry.
How bloody dare you?
Oh, my God. Let's start from the top.
Yeah, okay.
Shocking. Fuck. This is all my fault.
It's all right, it's all right. It's going very well. People are going to love this. okay, so you open the door to the study, and then what happened?
Well, I saw it. Just there in front of me. It was horrifying.
It was quite a scene.
Yes, I see. And there was no sign of a break-in? No other signs that anyone had access to the house?
No. The only keys to the place are in the office, and I had the set here with me to get in.
Time for us to go, Gary.
You what?
Message from the top. A detective has been officially given the case. Time for us beat bobbies to get off the scene.
Where have they gotten in? Johnson? Adams? Can't be McDonald. He's away on holiday.
Just as I thought, Watson. The door was made of low-grade timber, as signified by the fragments of wood flaking along with the paint. Paint which was applied to the door around 1967. I've got that wrong. Paint which was applied to the door around 1976, which means that the door itself is late 60s in its year of production, which means that the house has not been recently... renovated, which means advertisement incorrectly states the house has recently refurbished to a high standard.
But what does that mean, Sherlock?
It means, my dear Watson, that I would put an offer of around £50,000 under the asking price.
Oh, brilliant, Sherlock. Brilliant as always.
Who the hell are you?
Ah, PC Smith. There's a hint of body odour surrounding you, a smell which often accompanies someone who hasn't showered. The creases in your shirt are curved to the shape of a car seat, which signifies that you have been sleeping in your car. Sleeping in your car because your wife has finally had enough. Enough of the fact that you don't care anymore. You've put on weight. You forget important anniversaries. She doesn't not love you, but she doesn't love you either. She looks at her yoga teacher and thinks, what if? But she's never been able to act on these thoughts while you've been around. But now...
Oh, Susan, no!
But now listen here, buddy.
Ah, PC Davidson. There's a stain on your trousers. A stain which signifies...
Well, that's enough now, Sherlock. There's a crime we need to solve.
Good point, Watson.
To the crime scene! Ooh.
What's he, What's he doing?
Thinking.
Ho-hum. Ho-hum. Ponder. Wonder.
How long does he do this for?
As long as it takes.
I've got it!
Yes?
What is it?
The study is painted red.
Oh, brilliant, Sherlock. Absolutely brilliant. You what?
That's it, is it?
It hit me as soon as we walked into the room. The study is painted in this hideous shade of scarlet.
No shit, Sherlock, but what about...
Red is a colour often associated with anger, a colour that one wouldn't often choose to have in a room such as the study. A study would be associated with muted colours. Someone is trying to send a message, Watson. Write this down.
Oh, yes, I'm ready, Sherlock.
This, my dear Watson, is a crime of... fashion!
Very good, Sherlock.
That's a bit of a cheap pun attempt, if I'm being honest.
But what is the message? What is the perpetrator trying to say?
We are going to need an expert. Okay.
Hello, and welcome to a very special episode of Grand Designs with me, Kevin MacLeod. On today's programme, we are looking at a design, which is the scent, which is the... Sorry, that's not even funny. It's not. It's a shame when they're not funny, gaffes. I'll start again.
Hello, and welcome to a very special episode of Grand Designs, with me, Kevin MacLeod. On today's programme, we are looking at a design which is at the centre of a crime, if fashion.
Oh, shit.
On today's programme, we are looking at a design which is at the centre of a crime of fashion. Inside those halls, I have been told there is a fashion faux pas so horrifying it needs to be seen to be believed. Here we are, inside the study, at the center of this controversy, and my Christ, it's hideous. I have never in all my years of presenting this show seen a design choice so horrific. In fact, the place looks so awful it overpowers all the senses. Just looking at this horrific scarlet colouring, I'm getting the sensation of a rotting fish smelling in my nostrils, and now I have here with me Mike, the estate agent, who has been trying to sell the property and was one of the first people on the scene. Mike, what do you think of all this?
Wow. Well, it's certainly a bold choice for sure. That's Kevin.
I just realised I've given you too many characters. These are all. This whole scene is just you talking to yourself. I'm loving this.
It's absolutely fine. I just need to get better. I'm really tired. Listen, I'm so sorry.
It's good.
I've been teching all day for Doctor Who Time Fracture, which is Immersive London, please come see the show. So yeah, I'm sorry. Where shall I go back to?
Mike, what do you make of all this?
Mike, what do you make of all this?
Ah, well, it's certainly a bold choice, that's for sure, Kevin.
Wow, that accent, it's wonderful. Where is it from?
Australia, Kevin.
Wonderful, fantastic, stupendous. Now, here is the world-famous Sherlock Holmes. Mr. Holmes, what do you make of all this?
Ah, Kevin MacLeod. There's a look of sadness in your eyes, a look which has come about from years of spending time with millionaires and their ridiculous architectural projects. For too long, you have had to stare at renovated barns and converted castles, only to go back to your studio flat in London, which you enlist to your friends and family is in West London, but is in fact in Wembley, North West London. Oh, shocked noises. I thought it said Sherlock noises, and I was just doing... okay.
It's still West, damn it.
I do live in West London. I'm not fair, you fucking bitch.
Genius, Sherlock. You're a genius.
Yes, yes, I know, Watson. But we're still nowhere near solving this mystery. Watson! I've got it.
Yes, Sherlock?
We are going to need Agatha Christie this ending.
Genius! Genius!
I'm sure you're all wondering why I've gathered you here today.
God, the smell is awful.
Well, it really has gotten bad in here, hasn't it?
My eyes are watering.
As you know, there was a crime of fashion committed on this house, and I was tasked with trying to find out who the perpetrator is. Well, it wasn't easy. Could it be Dan, the home viewer, Mike, the estate agent, Kevin MacLeod? Watson.
What? Me? But I've been with you this whole time.
Everyone's a suspect, Watson.
Fair enough.
To paint a study red is a heinous crime, committed by someone without any remorse, someone without respect for humanity, someone without taste!
That was Kevin. You can cut them.
And I got to thinking, who of all the suspects has little to no taste? Who would have been brought up without the appreciation of the
sunrise, she bring in the morning.
Quiet, estate agent. I'm trying to do my Sherlock. And I got to thinking, who of all the suspects has little to no taste? Who would have been brought up without the appreciation of the finer things in life?
Who? Who is it, Sherlock?
Oh, I don't know, Watson. I've been so stressed, I feel like what I need right now is a shrimp on the barbie on a beach while wearing some flip-flops.
Sounds bloody ripper!
Case closed. It was the... Australian. Australians are known for having a lack of candour and taste, but only an Australian...
estate agent would be so tacky as to paint a study scarlet.
Okay, fine. It was me.
But why? Why did you do it?
Well, I thought it looked nice.
And that's not all.
Ooh, what else is there, Sherlock?
The study being painted red isn't the only crime committed in this place. There is also a rotting corpse in the corner of the room.
Oh, my Christ!
Bloody hell!
I knew there was a smell.
Honestly, that's been there the whole time. The only reason I didn't mention it earlier is I just assumed you all know about it.
Well, do something about it.
Like what?
Well, how should we know? You're the detective.
Detective? I'm not a detective. I'm an interior designer.
What? What?
Oh, bloody hell, not this again. Explain to them, will you, Watson?
There are two Sherlock Holmes in this town. The one with the L in the surname is the detective.
And I'm the one without an L.
Oh, very clever, Holmes. H-O-M-E-S.
But if you're here, then where is the detective, Holmes?
And with that, my work here is done.
Oh, what do you think, dear?
I don't know. I can't help but feel that the red velvet curtains clash with the bright green wallpaper. Are you sure you're in... I don't know. I can't help but feel that the red velvet curtains clash with the bright green wallpaper. Are you sure you're an interior designer?
Fiend. Who knows?
Oh, do you know what, mate? That was a bloody good time at the movies.
I'm sorry I gave you so many characters. I should have taken one more.
I liked it.
Deary me.
I liked it. Oh, brilliant. Really well done, man. That
Thank
was so much
you.
Fun. It was very colourful. It was a lot of joy. It was silly. It was humorous. I thought it was really good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And nothing like the real study in Scarlet.
No. Do you want to know my favourite one bit that
Go
I did?
Go on.
I liked how Kevin MacLeod sort of morphed into a really sort of strange moron. I enjoyed
I'm
that a
Kevin.
Lot.
poor
Kevin. Looking back, I think my Sherlock could have been a bit more curt. I think he was. I wasn't nasty enough to people. But it's very difficult to try and read something very, very fast because I just feel like that's how it should have been done. So I was attempting, and I was tripping over my words. It's been an absolute mess actually today in terms of my diction. So I can only apologise to you for the beautiful words that you've written that I've murdered, and to the listener who are going, "What the fuck? I don't quite understand what you're saying." So I do apologise for that. I should have warmed up.
Well, now if the National don't get in contact, I know who to blame. I'm just saying.
Because
I will blame you.
Just say it's so easy to recast. You can say, look, I've got Russell Tovey interested. So Howard's out the door.
He's very keen.
You can give him Policeman 2.
Oh, dearie
me. I couldn't find a voice for a policeman. How do they sound? You do them. Do one.
What? Hello, hello, hello. You got these ones?
I couldn't do it.
Hello.
Hello, what's going on here then?
Yeah. What's all this then?
Well, turns out I could have done it quite easily if I'd have just given it, but it sounds too close to fucking this, though.
I didn't even end up doing that. I
think I made him sound like this
for some reason.
Yeah, fair enough.
I've only got about four voices on this podcast.
Well, also, I think my voice has dipped quite considerably lower because I've been ragging my voice over the weekend and then today in tech.
Of course, in tech for your show, Doctor Who Time Fracture.
Doctor Who Time Fracture ticks available. And we're doing something particularly brilliant and and sort of cool and scary and dramatic. So I was using my voice quite a lot. So as a result, I'm sort of here at the moment, which is why all of my characters were here. Apart from Kevin, who kind of lived in this area, didn't he?
God bless Kevin. Dearie me. Yeah. Oh, no. Well, thank you for reading that weirdness.
Good. Oh, I really liked it, man. Hopefully it won't take too much of your time to edit it.
It'll be, like I said, Wednesday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. That's when you're listening to this right now, unless you're listening to it at a different time. Wednesday afternoon. Now, Howard, I did honestly try to do an extra thing, because you're so good at putting in extra things into our episodes. And I've been very slack. I've been a lazy, lazy person. I tried, as try as I might, to wedge in a reviewdle doodle doos. Cue chicken noise.
Wow, really?
I know.
A callback to the olden days.
But this had nothing funny, except, like, there wasn't a specific funny review, but all the one-star reviews I could find made me want to read the book even more. Because as far as I can see, the first half of the book, and anybody who has actually read it can, you know, I was about to say call in, write in and correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm getting from these reviews...
Sam, can I just shock you?
Oh, yeah?
I've read it.
Have you actually read it?
Yeah, well, Stephen Fry read it too.
Oh, my God. We need to have, like, some sort of we've read a book klaxon.
We've read a book jingle. Yeah, I've read it.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, then you're definitely going to have to, like, take us into it a bit more then. So correct me if I'm wrong. So
you're saying that the first half is the murder in London...
Yeah, and then apparently it goes to, like, Utah.
Goes to, like, Utah.
And the Mormons. And it's, like, all about how, like, the Mormons are running around, like, murdering people. And so, like, there's basically all the reviews are just from these really pissed off Mormons being like...
Really?
It's amazing. Mormons, we're not like that. It's... Oh! Oh! We're not like... It's amazing. If you go on Goodreads and just all the one-star reviews, it's every single person... on there is either a Mormon or probably connected to Mormons. It's brilliant.
Actually, Mormons are completely normal. And when I get to my planet called Coma with my 17 wives, you'll see how normal I am.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started on Mormonism. I could talk about that for donkeys. I fell down a rabbit hole of Mormonism a couple of years back. It was great.
What's his name? It's not John Smith. It's
Joseph
Smith,
Smith,
isn't it? Joseph Smith.
I've been to Utah, man.
Have you?
Yeah, I've hung out.
Is it well dry?
What, in terms of the old actual drinking alcohol?
No, just the air, isn't it? Because they've got salt lakes, Salt Lake City. So
yeah, that's it.
I just imagine it being really arid.
It's like a big valley. It's massive mountains on each side, and then like a desert on the outside of it, so yeah.
That's cool you've been to Utah. Why'd you do that?
Well, basically Harriet and I did like a little American big old trip a couple of years back, and we went to San Francisco and LA, but we were also like, okay, but we want to go somewhere that people don't normally go to, and we'd literally seen the Book of Mormon musical about a month before we were planning it. We're like, should we just go to Utah? Should we just do it?
Let's just go to Utah
for like 5 days and see what it's like. Ended up actually being the highlight of the trip. There's loads of great stuff to do there. So.
Oh, great. That's cool.
So yeah,
go to Utah. This week's sponsor is the Utah Tourist Board.
So yeah, so go on, Howard. So you've actually read the book. So what is the whole thing with like how the book's like in two halves sort of thing? What's with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've basically rinsed all the knowledge that I have already in that. One bit's in London and one bit's in Utah. So
does
if
Sherlock
you've got
Holmes
something
go
prepared.
To Utah?
I can't remember, but I don't think so.
No, because that's what I was reading. Like all the reviews are saying, apparently, just focuses on like a random family in Utah for like the rest of the book. It's like,
There's a family in Utah. There's some bad stuff going on. They're all like, there's like a whole sort of community are moving.
Yes.
They've all packed up their stuff in cart horses.
Yeah.
I can't quite remember it, Sam, if I'm honest. It was good, though.
Gonna have to reverse that klaxon a bit. We'll have to do like a half yeah. ding.
What I mean by I've read it is that I sort of skimmed it. I skimmed an audio book. go on, you talk more.
I'll talk more.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Wait,
so what have you got? You said you had something planned. Do you have what were you heading towards? Or are we just chatting?
Oh, we're just chatting. I was trying to do review doodle doodles. I couldn't find anything. It's been a complete disaster.
Oh, so when you told me I've got something planned, what you mean is I'm going to talk about something that I thought about doing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, that wasn't.
You know. Okay. You're a waste of space, Sheldon.
Well, I'm looking at the clock and we've already done 42 minutes, so you know, we're looking great.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
I will. Good. I mean, one day I'm going to do some stuff for you guys.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. To be honest, shocker. You know. It's nice. I only put them in because my other work isn't strong enough to stand on its own.
That's ridiculous. Now he's looking for praise, ladies and gentlemen. You're wonderful. Your stuff is great.
I'm not looking for praise, Sam. As you well know, I want you to be more mean to me because it makes me feel like I'm not bullying you every time I talk about how shit you are, which I don't.
Oh, God, not again. Not again.
Yeah.
Oh, dearie me. Yeah, it's been a bit of a weird one, isn't it? Like we've already said it from the outset. We had a little bit of a gag at the beginning about how tired we are. But yeah, we've been a bit nicky-nacky nude today. It's just... It's your mum's birthday party. It's taken it out of us, mate. We've just...
Yeah,
just
man. Been... It's crazy. Ugh. It's crazy what Quaaludes and cocaine can do to a person, isn't it? She's still going, mum.
That's a yeah. Really. Yeah.
She's still in the village hall with glow sticks on. She thinks she can see through time.
Mum, I've got to go back for tech. What are you leaving for? What's wrong with you?
Stupid idiot. Mum, I'm hungry. Ah, oh, don't worry. I've got a stomach like a grapefruit. And I couldn't chew with this jaw.
Oh, brilliant. Well, should we just wrap this nugget up?
Let's wrap it up. Let's wrap it up, baby, because next time, hopefully on time, I'm, and who knows, because I'm busy,
yeah. So
might be the same thing, but I'm going to be doing a little-known Irving Welsh documentary, that's wrong, Irving Welsh novel called Trainspotting.
Ooh, very exciting.
Yeah. That's good. Very difficult not to go route one on that, so... You know,
we'll see what's gonna happen.
We'll see
what's gonna happen. Very difficult book to read as well, actually, with all the slang.
Oh,
and
it's
all
tricky
that
with all the fucking Uber Nuba Cuba.
Oh, cutting you on your wee bunny bastard.
Hey, yo, what are you doing?
I've been listening to Billy Connolly's autobiography, and he reads it. So it's
love
so
that, man.
I'll just try and you know get into the spirit of him.
He's classy. You want to be doing Edinburgh?
Are you good? Are you going?
Is it set in Edinburgh? Is Trainspotting set in Edinburgh?
Pretty sure.
Fuck.
Yeah. Aye.
It feels Glasgow. They're all so awful. I'm joking. Obviously.
Oh, shocker! Love it.
So, Letitter or Titlets, thank you from the bottom of our wee merry hearts for joining us again. Thank you, Sam, for that brilliant study in Scarlet. I had an absolute ripping time. Now it's time to talk about a little thing called social media. It's our favourite thing to do. We love talking to you about it, and let me talk to you about it now. If you want to talk to us, you can, through the medium, the magic, the wonder of social media. Don't talk to us about, you know, David Icke lizard people or the fact that you don't like vaccines or the fact that Tom Hanks is head of a massive paedophile ring in Hollywood, just talk to us about nice things. Maybe send us pictures of kittens or something. You can find us on Instagram. I'll go Instagram first if you want, just to mix it up.
Oh, yeah,
that is literalliterature. You can find us on Twitter at literallitpod. That's capital L, literal, capital L, it, capital P, odd. You can find us on Instagram at literalliteraturepod. You can email us. That email address is literalliterature.podcast@gmail.com. And you will find me and Sam working at a Turkish bath, lathering up your back and sudding yourself as we get into the nooks and crannies and make you feel like a special little boy, whack you in a sauna, and then then play funny music as you feel better, and then we'll give you a tea, an overpriced tea.
Holy crap. Amazing.
What?
I'm saying holy crap. That's amazing.
Good,
that's,
yeah.
That's
wild. That's where we're going to be. But so that's that. So thank you very much. Anything else to add, Sam?
No, that's about it from me. I think all that is left to say is...